3-point night for Mark Giordano as part of a 5-3 Flames win over the Colorado Avalanche yesterday. That was the 11th time in his NHL career he put up 3 or more points in a single game. 5 of them have come this season. As we welcome you back, it's Pat Steinberg, Ryan Pinder, now Derek Wills, the radio voice of the Calgary Flames, as we complete our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. Derek, here we are. We're now more than halfway through the season for the Calgary Flames. The All-Star break is a couple of weeks away. Mark Giordano's game has not dipped. It has stayed steady. I know there are 2 players ahead of him on the NHL's scoring race among defensemen, but every passing day that he keeps his level where it is right now, he gets closer and closer, I believe, to at the very least being a top 3 guy on the Norris Trophy ballot. This conversation, I think, is just going to get louder and louder as we move further into the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing that could really derail Mark Giordano's bid for a Norris Trophy now, or at least to be a Norris Trophy finalist, is an injury. Because I think back to 2014-2015, he led the league in points by defenseman prior to that season-ending injury that he suffered. And that obviously wiped him out as far as the rest of the season was concerned and as far as the Norris Trophy was concerned. But I don't see any regression in Mark Giordano's game whatsoever. And with all due respect to the 2 guys ahead of him in points by defenseman in the league, which would be the Sharks' Brent Burns and the Maple Leafs' Morgan Riley. Of the 3 players, who's the best defensively? Because for me, it's not even debatable.
Yeah, there's not much to debate here. I think the fact that the 3-point stat is crazy, Pat. Like, did he come into the league when he was 12? Were we watching a child that's now a man? Like, how is this possible that a 35-year-old is not just having like a really good year or close to a career, but like far and away by many measures the best year of his career? This is preposterous. I'm trying to think of comparables in
sport. I don't know if there is one.
Like, because even Tim Thomas was like baffling, because he was a guy that I don't think he played a game until he was 29 and really didn't steal the number one job until he was like 31. And we were like, wow, this is amazing. Look how old he is. Giordano's like 3-4 years older than that.
Yep. It's
and
insane.
It tends to happen with goaltenders more often than defensemen or forwards, right, guys? They tend to reach their prime a lot later. But for a defenseman that has logged the type of minutes and top minutes that Giordano has as the Flames' number one blue liner for years and years and years, the fact that, you know, he's been able to get through all of that wear and tear and continue to play at a high level, probably the highest level he's ever played at this season, it's simply stunning.
Well, and so you take a look at because unfortunately the Norris Trophy does have a heavy, heavy reliance on points, it seems, every single year. Fortunately or unfortunately.
I think fortunately, though, if that's unfortunate for Mark Giordano, fortunately it's also an award that has a lot of reputation built into it.
And that's
also
a part
of legacy that is a part. You do not see...
Why Drew Doughty won it I totally agree. He was like, well, was he the best this year? No, but he hasn't won one before, so this is the year for Doughty.
The voters seem to be a major legacy element, and that's something that, frankly, Morgan Riley doesn't have much of because he's so young. And, you know, depending on your other candidates, I mean, he clearly he's going to be the most tenured guy. There's just not many guys his age in the bloody league.
Well, and Derek, you take a look at the guys who are kind of in the same conversation in terms of points. You've got Burns, you've got Riley ahead of Geo, then Carlson, Shabbat, Letang are the guys in and around as well. You go take a look at the minutes that Giordano plays and who he plays against, take a look at some of the underlying metrics, so on and so forth, it all shows that Giordano is the best of the group on top of just the point stuff. Possession, scoring chances, all of that. I think right now, if I had a ballot, I don't, but if I did, he'd be at the top of it 45 games into the season. I think he's been the best defenseman in the NHL this year. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. And I mean, I get to vote on the Jack Adams. I don't get to vote on the Norris, unfortunately. But if I had a vote, he'd be at the top of my list as well. And, you know, you talked about all the tangible things, guys. How about the intangibles? Like the fact that he makes whoever his partner is way better. We've seen it with T.J. Brody, not once but twice. We've seen it with Dougie Hamilton, who's not the same player this season as a member of the Hurricanes that he was playing alongside Giordano when they were paired up on the Flames' number one pairing. I mean, there are just so many factors that I think should be considered. I think the one negative is that Giordano plays in the West, and there are a lot of guys who get a vote, who live in the East, who probably don't watch him play as much as they should. So I do think there's enough buzz, though, you know, talking to people who are based out of Toronto or Montreal or New York. Everybody's well aware of the type of season Mark Giordano is having. So I think he's got a great chance to win the Norris Trophy and be probably one of many Flames that's going to be a finalist for a major NHL award this season.
Just to follow up on, you know, what could derail this. I certainly know injuries, absolutely that, and you can't control that. What about Erik Karlsson? If he's going to rock it, you know, close to 2 points a game for the longer this stretch continues. I mean, if we have a, you know, if Erik Karlsson puts up 90 points and Mark Giordano comes in at 65-70, okay, sure, you'd take Giordano defending over Karlsson, but those are incredibly staggering offensive numbers. And even if you just look at, you know, shot shares, like Karlsson is better. That might be something we have to watch for here, because he got off to a really slow start, but that is long since passed now.
No, he is rolling. There's no doubt about it. And if he ends up leading the league in defensemen for scoring, I think Karlsson will be in the conversation too. He's won one before.
Well, and is there momentum too? Like, if you're going to have your worst month, it probably is best to have it in October, because it's the furthest removed from voters' minds, isn't it?
And
for sure it
he
is. You know what another factor might be, guys? What if Brent Burns takes votes away from Erik Karlsson and vice versa? That could happen.
Yep.
Well, why you would have one on your ballot and not the other. Like, you could vote for both of them, can't you? Like, I don't know that hurts him more than it hurts Giordano or it hurts Karlsson. Like, why would you only give one vote for team? That doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, but you might not put two Sharks on your ballot, is what I'm trying to say. You might pick one as opposed to both. At least to go in your top three. I mean, if you're going to cast a ballot and you get to pick the top three defensemen in the league, are you going to pick two Sharks? Maybe you will.
If they're
maybe
two
won't.
Of the best three, then I would, yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying. I just don't know that that's necessarily how a lot of voters would think, but it's interesting.
Well, I mean, so much of this is guessing how voters think. I tend to actually side with you on this one, Willsy. Like, I feel like a lot of voters might not do that because, oh well, we got, what about Morgan Riley if we want, like, there's just so much that goes into, like, I don't have much time for handicapping what voters are going to do because I have no idea which way they're going to go. I just think that it's important to have the talk about how well he's played this year, and hopefully he gets close to the recognition that I think he deserves when it's all said and done. And the other thing is, let's not forget, and this is not to take shots at Dougie Hamilton because I'm a big fan of his, and not to take shots at T.J. Brody, but there's no doubt about it that both those guys are significantly better players playing with Mark Giordano. I think we've seen it now with the last 5 years with Brody, two really good years with Gio, two really, you know, substandard years without him, and now look where he is this year, and look what Dougie Hamilton did, 2 years with Gio, and then the numbers are not anywhere near the
sure.
same place without him.
Do you think that's not common for guys that are getting Norris votes?
I'm just saying,
like, here's
just
an example.
I'm just saying that just is another underlying
course,
to what he, how well he's played.
What
this
I'm
year.
Saying is you're going to find that in all three finalists. I don't think that's necessarily a huge swing to Giordano. Like, what did you think of Brendan Dillon before this year? You probably thought he was like a 4-5-6. He's playing with Karlsson every night, and all of a sudden, you cannot argue he's having the best season of his career alongside Karlsson. And what do you think about Mark Methot 2 years ago when they were a goal away from going to the Stanley Cup Final?
And who plays with? Is it Ron Hainsey who plays
with Morgan
Riley?
Plays with Morgan Riley.
No, I'm not saying that puts him over the top. I'm just saying the entire body of work. It is very, very strong
right.
in Giordano's case.
I just think we forget that a lot of these other candidates do that too. Like, there's no question Hainsey's having a really good year next to Riley because of Riley. And there's no doubt that Brendan Dillon is seeing the effect that Mark Methot
saw with Karlsson.
These are what elite defensemen do, and it's absolutely something that if you're in the conversation for the Norris, you probably make the guy next to you a whole lot better. Not unique.
Yeah, but you know what a major difference would be? Is Erik Karlsson the guy you're going to put on the ice when you want to shut down the other team's top line? Or is Brent Burns or is Morgan Riley? Because if I was the coach of that team, the answer would be no.
Well, but what pair are you using in Toronto if it's not Riley's?
When the other team's top line's on the ice, and I'm trying to shut them down.
So what pair are you using in Toronto if it's not Riley's?
Well, I mean, you'd probably use Hainsey. He gets all kinds of work on the penalty kills.
That's his pair.
I'd have to look at their defense pairings, but I'm just saying there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Mark Giordano is not only the best offensive defenseman on this team, he's the best defensive defenseman on this team, and I don't think you could say the same about those other two or three guys.
As far as the voting's
concerned, guys, I get vote on the Jack Adams in the NHL, but when I was in the AHL for 13 years, I got to vote on everything. So I do have that background as far as how voting works, and I can tell you that I would be reluctant to put two guys in the top three on my ballot if they played on the same team. There would have to be extenuating circumstances. If they were by far better than everybody else, then I would consider it, and I know other voters felt the same way in that league and likely do in this league as well.
You must not have voted on those top 100 NHLers of all time. There's a lot of Hawks there.
No, I didn't.
That's right.
Joe Thornton?
No.
Nah. Evgeny Malkin?
Malkin?
The best of all time.
Get
out
of here. Who needs him? Iginla?
Duncan Keith, boys.
Duncan Keith, though. Let's put him in there. He's Derek Wills. He's Ryan Pinder. My name is Pat Steinberg. This is our daily Calgary Flames roundtable. The Mark Giordano Norris Trophy conversation, I don't think, is going to go away anytime soon. The second topic today, guys, another win last night where they found a way to win. Is this a good thing that the team is finding ways to win when they're not playing very well? Or is it a concerning thing knowing that, well, they haven't really put together a lot of complete games in recent memory? Where do you fall on that, Derek?
I think it's a little bit of both, guys. I mean, you look at the last two games the Avalanche have played, and I think those two games are examples of what we saw in a lot of nights from the Flames last season. Because the three of us would talk. Ryan, you and I would talk in the morning. Pat, you and I would talk throughout the day and again in the afternoon. And I remember how many times it came up. Well, the Flames outshot and out-attempted and out-chanced their opponent. But you know what they didn't do? Outscore them. So at the end of the day, wins are what matter most. Do I think the Flames are playing their best hockey right now? Absolutely not. I think if you look at the last stretch of five games, the game they played the best in was the one game they lost, and that one was against the Bruins where Mike Smith had a tough night and their power play couldn't get anything going. But, you know, when you look at them 5-on-5 in that game and from start to finish in that game, they were pretty darn good. But in the other four games, which they've all won, I think they've won with their B, C, or in last night's case, probably D game. So it is concerning in the sense that I think long term, you're going to have to find your A game on a more regular basis again. But finding a way to win in this league, especially in the dog days of the season, which I believe to be between the Christmas break and then the All-Star/5-day break, it's really important that you just find ways to win those games. And then when you come out of those breaks and you get into the stretch run, I think it's a lot easier to focus on being at your best game in, game out, and preparing for the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, you know, for guys, it's a grind, this 82-game regular season schedule. And I think even more of a grind for the Flames this season because of the China trip, all of the rookie games and preseason games that they played. So I think they might be hitting a bit of a wall mentally and physically right now. So it's important that they find ways to win, and that's what they've been doing.
Yeah, look, they have not played that well of late, but they're winning. It's phenomenal when you can collect points and you're not playing well. But if you want to play in a playoff series the way they're playing now, it's not going to last long, and you can book the tee times. But I'm not really worried about that because of the nature of what you just talked about, Derek. This is a marathon indeed, and they'll figure it out, and I'm with you. I think this remaining six games before the break, just get results. You've got a lot of time to down the stretch here to tinker, and you're going to have probably some rental pieces coming in at the deadline, and you want to know exactly what makes you most difficult to beat. But at this point, there's probably not a ton critiquing it. The coaches probably aren't thrilled, but they'll take the points and move along.
I would suggest this is not a Calgary unique thing. I think that you take a look at a lot of the other teams that are fighting near the top of the, maybe take San Jose and Vegas out of the conversation because they had slower starts that are now rolling, but take a look at the teams that have been near the top of their divisions all year long. Tampa and Winnipeg, and Nashville's just getting out of a little bit of a mire. I know that injury played a part in that, but you talk to the folks in Winnipeg, they have not been playing their best hockey, and they've been having to find ways to grind out points when they haven't been playing very well. I remember talking to Ryan McDonough in the Lightning locker room when they came through here on December 20th. He said, no, do not be fooled by the record. We do not like the way we're playing. We are finding ways to outscore issues. I think this is an issue that all 31 teams face, but not all 31 teams can find ways to fight through it and get those points at this time of year.
Yeah, it's an elite team problem when you don't play well and win, and how do you feel about it? That's not the kind of problem a bad team has. Bad teams don't win when they don't play well. So,
well, and that's the other thing, guys, and I think you both touched on it. Because the Flames got off to such a great start this season, I think there's a little less desperation in their game than you'll see in the type of hockey that the Golden Knights are playing right now and that the Sharks are playing right now, just to use the top three teams in the Pacific Division, because San Jose and Vegas didn't get off to great starts like Calgary did. So now picking up those points that they missed out on earlier in the season becomes even more important than it is for a Flames team that was able to bank a lot of points earlier in the season. So I'm really going to get a good read on this team coming out of the 9-day break or 8-day break, whatever you want to call it, the All-Star break and the 5-day break tied together, which I think is a great idea by the league to do it that way this season. So I think we're going to get a way better idea of where the Flames are at in comparison to those other teams we've talked about coming out of the breaks. But as you said, Ryan, going in, you want to start playing better for sure, but the most important thing is to continue to pile up points and make sure you're in a good spot going into those breaks.
The Flames have won 3 in a row. They'll look to make it 4 tomorrow night. It's a 7 p.m. start against the Florida Panthers. We will do this all over again at this time in the Basement Systems Hot Stove Lounge tomorrow. Thank you, Wilsey. Have yourself a great rest of your Thursday. I'll see you in like an hour and a half.
Sounds good. See you, boys.